on Ches Amud Beis 8b, and because we obviously last week for Shavuos, a bit of a recap, we had been talking about Sheva Brachos. And Sheva Brachos in a happy context, the brachos that are said in the house of the Chasan and Kala for the week after the wedding. And then we mentioned the concept of Panim Chadashos, that whenever during the course of that week you have somebody present for this meal who brings extra joy because they haven't been involved in the celebration until now, that leads us to say the full set of the Sheva Brachos. And in contrast, we said, there's a set of brachos that were said, we don't have them, but that were said outside the house of a mourner when somebody new came, Panim Chadashos, a new face came to comfort the mourner. And so we saw the Gemara in the bottom of Ches Amud Aleph, top of Ches Amud Beis, that introduced us to a few different practices involved in the house of a mourner. But now what we're going to do is to see what this Birkas Rechava, the bracha of the street, looked like, based on what Reish Lakish did when he went to comfort Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was the teacher of the son of Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba lost a child, and Reish Lakish came to comfort him. And as we said last time, when we talked about this 2 weeks ago, some of the comfort here is a bit to understand. It doesn't look an awful lot like comfort. So we're going to talk about this. I'm going to share the screen with the Gemara. And away we go. So I'm going to take us back through the first of the five, even though we dealt with most of it last time, just because, again, it was 2 weeks ago. Lamachar is where we're starting. If you see it on your screen, it is about 20 lines down or so, 15 to 20 lines down. Lamachar. The next day, the day after the funeral, Reish Lakish was not there for the funeral. Therefore, he is Panim Chadashos. He is a new face showing up for consolation. Dabre li Yehuda bar Nachmeni mitur gemane. He brought Yehuda bar Nachmeni, who was his mitur geman. And as we explained 2 weeks ago, the mitur geman does not mean translator. Rather, it was the person who would broadcast and to a certain extent, perhaps, explain the words of the Chacham, the words of the sage. So Yehuda bar Nachmeni's job is to convey what Reish Lakish says. Amar Leim, Reish Lakish says to him, Kum Ema Milsa Kol Kavil Yenuka. We should say something relevant to the loss of a child. And we're going to have two different versions within this as to whether it was a very young child or whether the person who had passed away was perhaps a late teen or mid-teen. But this is what he said. He says, V'omar, Vayar Hashem Vayin'atz Mika'as Banav Ubnosav. Quotes the Pasuk in Parshas Ha'azinu. Hashem saw, and Hashem was angry because of what his sons and daughters did. He was blasphemed, really, as a result of the anger caused by his sons and his daughters. And so this pasuk, which in context in Parshas Ha'azinu is talking about what happens at a moment in time when the Jews have grown very comfortable and they reject a recognition of what Hashem has done for them. And then Hashem says, well, I'm going to have to teach them something. So he says, Dorsha avos minatzim lakadosh baruch hu koes al b'nehem. When you have a generation in which the avos, the older generation, is blaspheming against God, so God will get angry at their descendants, val b'nosem, their sons and their daughters, umesim k'shem ketanim, and they die when they are young. This again is supposed to be comforting to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. V'ikat the Amri, alternatively, he was not a very young child, but rather some say bachur hava. He was actually a bachur. He was actually a little bit older. V'achi ki Amar Leih, and Reish Lakish said to him a pasuk that specifically involves bachurim. Al kein al bachurav lo yismach Hashem. The pasuk in Yeshaya. In context, it's a message to King Ahaz, predicting the downfall of the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Yisrael. And the pasuk says, therefore, Hashem will not rejoice over his bachurim, his young men. Ve'es yisoma ves almanosav lo yirachem. He will not have mercy on orphans. He will not have mercy on widows. Ki kulo chanef umereya v'chol ped dover nevala. Because everybody is speaking in a way that is chanef. Chanef is either flattery or cruelty. Depends a little bit on its context in Tanakh. But people are speaking awfully, and every mouth is dover nevala, speaks in a way that is repulsive. B'chol zos lo shava po v'od yado netuya. And with all of this, meaning Hashem not taking care of the orphans, not taking care of the widows, they still yadonituya lo shava po, his anger is not abated, and yadonituya, Hashem's arm is still outstretched. So he brings either a pasuk about Hashem taking it out on banos, younger children, or Hashem taking it out on the bachurim, on the young men. And then you get a little bit of a tangent, which is actually what we were up to last time. Mai va'od yado netuya. What does the pasuk mean when it adds the words ve'od and further yado netuya? Hashem's arm is outstretched. So Amar Rav Chanan bar Rav. Rav Chanan bar Rav says it's meant to explain the part of the pasuk that said every mouth speaks nivala, speaks that which is disgusting. And it's a comment on that, saying, Hakol Yodin Kala Lama Nichnas Alochupa. Everybody knows what's going to happen when a man and a woman get married. Everybody is aware of where they're going. Ela kol hamenabel piv umotzi dvar nevala mipiv. However, anyone who makes his mouth repellent, speaking something that is repellent, afilu nechtam lo gzardino shel shivim shana letova, nepach olav lera. Even if he had a decree sealed for him that he was going to live 70 years, that decree is actually reversed and now becomes bad. 70 years being a good decree, that he should live 70 years, now he will not live the 70 years. Pausing at that point in the Gemara just to explain where did that come from in terms of Va'od Yado Netuya. How does Va'od Yado Netuya translate to early death? So two different explanations. Rashi's explanation is that what it's saying is Hashem's yad, Hashem's hand, is nituya, is outstretched against ve'od. The word ve'od, Rashi says, is like va'ed, eternity. So Hashem's hand is outstretched against this person's eternity. That's how Rashi reads it. The Marsha reads a little bit differently. He says, "B'chol zos lo shav apo," God's anger is not abated for what happened in the past. "V'od yado netuya," and his hand is outstretched to take away the person's future. This is a side note within our Gemara. Our Gemara is not focused on the issue of how people speak, the issue of nivol peh. However, it is a broader theme in Gemara. You have a Gemara in Bava Metzia. I'll just pause sharing for a moment. You have a Gemara in Bava Metzia, which talks about the three things that Talmud Chacham is allowed to lie about. Right? Anyone remember that Gemara? Right? The three things that a Talmud Chacham, you all need to know. You're all Talmidei Chachamim. What are the three things that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to lie about? You need to know. Sorry?
Akala's appearance.
No, so that's a different Gemara. That's actually a Ksuvos
Gemara. Okay, I thought it was connected to
the Shammai Gemara.
That's it, right. That'll be much later in Ksuvos. No, we have,
Shalom Bias.
So what we have there in the Gemara, as I recall, is he's allowed to lie about, is my signal breaking up or is that anybody else's? So the Gemara Bava Metzia talks about a few things that a Talmid Chacham is allowed to lie about. So one of them is about his host, that if people ask him about the quality of the host where he stayed, so he's allowed to lie about that in order to save his host from people besieging the host for opportunities to take advantage of the hospitality. And then another one is that the Talmud Chacham is able to lie about his mesechta, to lie about what he has learned. So if they ask him, did you learn this? He's able to say, no, I have not learned it, out of humility. So those are other things a person, he's allowed to lie about. But then one of them is puraya. So puraya, one of the explanations of puraya is for him to lie about issues of marital relations. Puraya meaning a bed. So just like we're saying here, that he's not, you're not supposed to make sexual matters public. They're not supposed to be for conversation. So too, you have that Gemara that says he's allowed to lie about puraya. You also have a Gemara in Erevin Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis, which is very harsh regarding, people who disclose when their mikvah night is. You're not supposed to let people know when somebody's going to the mikvah. She knows, and whoever's taking care of the mikvah knows, and that's it. It's not supposed to be shared, information. So this Gemara is fitting in with that, as a concept. But it's really a side note, again, within this discussion here. The focus of the discussion is Reish Lakish's attempt, apparent attempt anyway, to comfort Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. So the Gemara is very bothered by this. And the Gemara says, you call this consolation? I mean, that's supposed to comfort him how? You know, he lost a son, and now you tell him, well, the generation is horrible. That's not going to make him feel better. So going back to the Gemara, I'm going to try to share that with you again, and hopefully my connection is now better and able to sustain that. There we go.
No.
Hang on. It's materializing, that's all. You see it?
Nope. Not yet.
Not yet. Give it another 5 seconds. Now?
Nope.
Okay. I'm going to read it to you at any rate, and it's going to show up on your screen one of these days. We're at the end of the thin lines. Aslan achume tseure kamitzar lei. The Gemara asks, what exactly is Reish Lakish accomplishing here? You came to comfort Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, and you're causing him pain. Rashi says the pain that you're causing him is by implying that he has sinned, and that's why his son died. Like, why is that a good thing to tell somebody? No, what he's saying to him is not that. Not that you sinned, certainly not that your son sinned, but rather, Chashiv at la'aspuse adara. You are so important that the generation is punished. That the generation is punished by having pain in your family. You're so great that that God chooses to punish the generation with the pain on the family. So what he's trying to say, although I have to admit that it's still a little hard for me to grasp, but what he's trying to say is that you, your son, your family are wonderful and pure people. And far from saying that you deserved it, no, you didn't deserve it at all. But what's happening to you is because of the sins of others, and it's a mark of your righteousness that this happened to you. That's the way that that the Gemara resolves it. Clive, I see the look on your face with it. Certainly from my perspective, I don't really see this helping. On the other hand, I don't know what can help. You know?
Well, we do have a concept of Pekina Bona Voisa, Boni Voscalation, right? So, I mean, the concept is not foreign.
No, the concept, I'm not arguing at all with the read of a Torah philosophy that, a younger generation may well be zapped for what an older generation did. There's a lot of discussion based on Pesukim in Yechezkel. There's a lot to say about that. But my issue is not that this is bad Judaism. My issue is that this is bad comfort. but what I was starting to say was that I don't know what good comfort looks like. In a case like this, where Rabbi Chiya bar Abba has lost a child, I don't know what you say. I mean, as I understand it, you just you keep your mouth closed. You don't.
I thought you weren't supposed to say anything when you comfort a mourner.
Well, you wait for the mourner to speak, and presumably he did. And this was, you know, his attempt in response. But I think, I suspect that we have to really work from one key starting point, which is that we are not Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba and we are not Reish Lakish. Meaning, you're talking about Amoraim. You're not talking about, you know, normal people. This is not your standard person, you know, of the culture that we are in with the activities that we engage in. These are people who are engaged fully in Torah. That's their existence and that's their worldview. And it's their brilliance. I mean, Reish Lakish shows up how many times in the Gemara? All over the place. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba is a giant. Therefore, trying to apply what would comfort us, to somehow match that with what would comfort them is, I think, a mistake to begin with. I don't think that any of us can be in the shoes of an Amora. I think it's really more likely that that's the way to read it. So this was about the loss of a child. Now, that's unclear within the Mefarshim on this Gemara whether this was said as a bracha or whether it was just said as a flat statement. And the reason I highlight that is because of what's coming next. If you see the end of the first wide line, Amar Le, you see that? Amar Le, Kum Ema Milsa Keneged Shivcho Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the second thing that Reish Lakish is going to say. And he says, say something parallel to the praise of Hashem. Pasach the Omar. And he began and he said, Hakel Hagadol Berov Godlo Adir V'Chazak Berov Noraos Mechaye Meisim B'Ma'amaro Oseged Alos Arin Cheker V'Niflaos Arin Mispar Baruch Ata Hashem Mechaye HaMeisim. So he begins by saying, first of all, Rashi notes that he begins with Baruch Ata Hashem, even though it's not here in the Gemara. He says, Baruch Ata Hashem, Hakel Hagadol, God who is great, who is powerful, Berov Godlo, in the magnitude, the great magnitude, or the magnitude of his greatness, Adir V'Chazak, he is so strong, Berov Noraos, in his great, awesome deeds, Mechaye Meisim B'Ma'amaro, he revives the dead with his declaration, he performs great things that we cannot even examine, he performs infinite wonders, Baruch Ata Hashem, Mechaye HaMeisim. Period. Blessed are you, God, who revives the dead. So Rashi believes that this is actually the start of Birkas Rechava. This is the start of the brachos that are made out in the road. However, the Shita Mekubetzes disagrees, and so does the Meiri. They suggest that the first one was actually the first part of the series, and here I'm going to stop sharing the Gemara and instead share with you the sheet for those who did not print it out. Because I think I brought it for you on there. Yeah. The Shita Mekubetzes writes the following. You see it? Source Aleph. V'harav Rabbi Yossi Zal Kasav. Birchas Rechava Havya Brachos She'omrim Bracha Atzma B'shar Shemanichin Shames Hamita Kodim She'ikaver Ames. He says, Birchas HaRachava means the bracha they actually say before the funeral, when they put the body down there, before the burial, when they're on their way. But he says, Kigon, it's like Hani Brachos to Amar Yehuda Bar Nachtum, like these brachos that, he calls him Yehuda Bar Nachtum, the speaker for Reish Lakish said, Kol Kavel Mosana, opposite death, Shu atzdakas dino shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a justification of what God did. It's a recognition of divine justice. That's his first one. And then v'chol kevel shivcho shalak Kadosh Baruch Hu, praising God, shemis galgel bo kigon tchias hamesim, the idea of he uses the term misgalgel, but he means the ultimate resurrection of the dead, and then for the Avelim, and then for the comforters of the Avelim. In other words, what the Shita Mekubetza says is that the first one was a bracha also, but it was a particular kind of bracha. It was tziduk hadin. It was meant to justify the divine verdict. The Me'iri is similar. Take a look at the Me'iri in source Beis, and after we've read this, I want to mention two things that come out of the Shita Mekubetzes and the Me'iri. The Me'iri says, Bracha zu ikara l'nachim es ha'avelim. He says, the main purpose of the bracha that you're making is to comfort the mourner. Umikomakom kol echad ve'echad hayamosif bakir tzono. However, it was freestyle. It's not like you open up your bench here and there's a bracha to say. Each person would add as they chose. Im derech drasha, sometimes it was as a drasha, taking something from a pasuk, laharich al ras anshei hador, to go on at length about the wickedness of the generation, v'shu chashuv le'anei shaleim, and that this person was so great that God brought the punishment on him for what the generation had done. Oh, dvaram ha'ma'orim es halev, or things that will awaken the heart, im bibracha laharich b'shivcha shal kadosh baruch hu, maybe as a bracha to go on at length about the wonders of God, l'daber k'negen ha'avelim, and so on. In other words, and I'm going to stop sharing now so I can see people. Hang on. This is now covering that. There we go. What we're seeing here is, number one, both the Shita Mekubetzes and the Me'iri believe that the first one was also a bracha. It was not just an introduction that Reish Lakish had because of the particulars of this case. But what I found particularly interesting was that the Shita Mekubetzes and the Me'iri gave two different explanations for what that first bracha was meant to do. Right? The Me'iri said what we thought, that he's talking about how bad the generation is. And you're wonderful, your family is wonderful, and that's why this happened to you. It's too bad, you were wonderful. The Shita Mekubetzes doesn't say that. The Shita Mekubetzes says the opening bracha was tziduk hadin. It was meant to justify Hashem's verdict. In other words, to say, we accept that which God has done. That was the goal of what he was doing. It wasn't so much to say, listen to what I have to tell you because this is going to make you feel better, as this is the way I read what God did. Do you follow? I see a couple of nods, but not everybody, and I'm not sure if I'm getting this across.
Was he maybe also using it, when he ends with Tchias HaMesim, is that maybe not a form of Tanchumin, kind of like,
right.
It's almost like the Gemara at the end of Makkos with Rabbi Akiva when he saw the Shu'al and
so the running. Right. So the second thing he said is definitely along those lines. The second thing he said reminds me of Kaddish, because he talks about the Shevach of Hashem and he invokes Tchias HaMesim. It reminds me very much of Kaddish in the sense that Kaddish elevates the name of God, and it speaks about a future time, when Hashem will bring Shalom and so on. And especially if you take the Kaddish of a funeral Kaddish, right, which has a specific invocation of the world of the future, Ba'oma Diu Asid Li Yischadasa, and so on. It includes an element of what's going to happen in Olam Haba. So that's what I see happening in the second one. But just what I'm trying to convey here is two things. Well, three things. Number one, that these brachos that they were making were freestyle brachos. So you could say it in part, you could add your own words, you could do whatever you did, and that was what was done. That's number one. Number two, that it's not clear that the first part here with the loss of a child is part of the brachos. Rashi says it's not. On the other hand, other Rishonim disagree and say it is. And the and third, that this first one, which was so puzzling to us, where he talks about the son having been a casualty of the sins of the generation, maybe it's what I said before, which is just that we don't know what it's like to be Rabbi Chiya bar Abba and Reish Lakish, and therefore it's hard for us to relate. But maybe the answer is it wasn't really an attempt at consolation as much as Tzidu Kadin. Just a statement of, we accept that this is divine justice. Clear? Okay. The rest of them are much more straightforward. Let's take a look at the third one. I'll go back to sharing the Gemara. Okay. So, we are now at the fourth wide line. Amar le, kum ema milsa keneged avelim. He said, let's say something for the avelim. Pasach v'yamar, and he began by saying, Achenu hamiyugaim hamedukain be'evel hazeh. Our brothers who are exhausted and depressed in this mourning. Rashi says it didn't start with Baruch Atah Hashem because it's linked to the bracha before it, suggesting that there's a formal structure here, and therefore you wouldn't say Baruch Atah Hashem. But he says to them, my brothers who are exhausted and who are depressed, Tenu levavchem lachkor et zos. Turn your hearts to investigate this. Zos hi omedes la'ad. This, and when he says this, he means death, is eternal. It's there forever. Nisivhu misheshes yimei abreshes. It has been in the path since the 6 days of creation. Rabim shasu, many people drank of it. Rabim yishtu, many are going to drink of it. Kemishte, this is not like, you know, bringing a positive mood to the Sheva house here. Kemishte rishonim, kach mishte achronim. As the early ones drank, so the later ones drink. Achenu Baal Nechamos, our brethren, Achenu, our brethren, Baal Nechamos Yenachim Eschem. May the one who provides comfort, provide comfort for you. Baruch Menachem Aveilim, blessed is the one who comforts mourners. Rashi says what he's really getting at here is, death is universal, so don't cry too much. That's the message. Well, Abaye is horrified. Abaye says, you can't say stuff like that. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Rabim Shasu Lema. You can say, many people have drunk of this. That's legit. Rabim Yishtu Lo Lema. You don't say, many will drink of it. Mishte Rishonim Lema. You could say, what the early ones drank. Mishte achronim lo lema. You can't say that that's also what the later ones are going to drink. Abaye does not like this idea at all. De amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, because look, Reish Lakish himself said, v'chein tana mishmed Rabbi Yossi, and so was taught in the name of Rabbi Yossi, la'olam al yiftach adam piv la'satan. One should not open his mouth to the satan. Meaning, don't invite disaster by describing God condemning a person or punishing a person. You can't do that. And we get a specific example. Amar of Yosef, Mikra. Rav Yosef says, what's my basis in a pasuk for being worried about opening your mouth to the Satan? The pasuk says, this is in the first parak in Yeshaya, the Haftorah read up until this year for the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, Kisdom hayinu la'amora daminu. Rabbi Yosef says, what is the meaning of the pasuk when Yeshaya says, we suffered like Sodom, we suffered like Amora, we were, you know, the same way Sodom and Amora were overturned, that's how we have suffered. I broke it up wrong. Rabbi Yosef said, Mikra, what's the pasuk that's the basis for saying, don't open up your mouth to the Satan? The pasuk says, Yeshaya says, we suffered like Sodom and Amora. And Maya Haderle, and what does God respond to him right after that? Shim'u Dvar Hashem, Kitzinei Sodom. Hashem says back to Yeshaya, listen up, you officers of Sodom. In other words, if you call yourselves people of Sodom, just when you describe the suffering that you experienced, you're asking God to say, yeah, that's the problem. You guys act like Sodom. You follow? You with me? So what Abaye is saying is, you can't say to a mourner, many people will die. You could say, many people have died. It's not okay to say, many people are going to die. So on this, I brought you some points on the source sheet that I thought were worth noting. First of all, and I'm going to share the source sheet. If you see where you have the translated sources, they're translated because they come from a shiur that I gave on this topic, and I figured I don't have to make things harder than they need to be. I might as well let you have the translation on there also. This is a Gemara in Brachos, talking about eulogizing. Tana Rabbanan, ha'oskim behesped, those who are involved in eulogy, and it's a discussion about what their status is while they are involved in eulogizing, but it's not the point for us, so I skipped that. V'hu omed u'matzdik olav es hadin, the mourner stands up and does tziduk hadin, he accepts Hashem's justice. V'omer, and he says, Ribon ha'olamim, master of the universe, harbei chatasi lefanecha, I've sinned a lot before you, God. V'lo nifratami meni echad mini elef, and I know you haven't even punished me for 1/1000th of what I've done. Yehi ratzon lefanecha, Hashem Elokeinu, shetigdor pirtzoseinu, upirtzos kol amcha beis Yisrael barachamim. May it be your will, God, that you fence in the breaches of the nation with mercy. So in other words, God, I recognize that you could have done a lot worse to me. That I deserved a lot worse. That's what the Gemara says. So Abaye comes along and says, no. Amar Abaye lo mebayele le'inish lememer hachi. Abaye, just like in our Gemara, jumps in there and says, you can't say that. Damar Bishum ben Lakish, he quotes that same thing that we just said. You don't open your mouth to the Satan. Just like in that story with Yeshaya, where he says, we suffered like Sodom, and then he is called a person of Sodom. Just to show you one more case where Abaye does the same thing, source number 2. A little bit of a different context. Tanu Rabbanan, in source number 2, Brisa says, Hanichnas lebeis hamerchatz. When a person goes into the bathhouse, he should say the following: Yiratzon lefanecha, Hashem Elokai, shetatzileni mizeh kayotze bo. God, save me from this, and save me from that which is like this. I shouldn't be harmed when I go into this hot bathhouse. Val yerabi dvar kalkala va'avon. No corruption or guilt should befall me. Vim yerabi dvar kalkala va'avon. And in the event that some corruption or guilt befalls me, then tehemi sasi kapara l'chol avonosai. May my death atone for all my sins. And once again, Amar Abaye lo lema inish hachi. Abaye says, no, you're not supposed to say this. You're not supposed to say such things. Like, if I die. Don't say if I die. Don't do that. If, Hashem is in control and Hashem can make it happen. You don't need to invite it. Is a biased statement. So, two questions for you. First of all, do you know of a halacha which is based on this regarding something, regarding how we daven in a shiva house? There's a halacha about davening in a shiva house which connects to this.
No tachanun.
No tachanun. Good. The Mishnah Brura writes in Kuf Lamed Aleph that we don't say tachanun in a shiva house because Hashem's judgment is already present and we don't want to have the mourner saying, God, I've done terrible things. There's judgment already present. It's really inappropriate to bring that on oneself. Why is this an issue? So I brought you the Maharsha on the sheet, the last source that I brought you on the sheet. I'll say it outside. I'm not going to reshare the screen. But the Maharsha says the problem with doing this is essentially that hodas bal din kmeya edim dami. Right? If a litigant admits that he's guilty, that's like having 100 witnesses against him. So we don't want people saying to God, I'm guilty. That's not so sharp. We don't want you to do that. This is different, I note, from two other areas where we're concerned about speaking about bad things happening. There's a separate issue of not inviting disaster by describing bad things happening to oneself outside of a framework of judgment. So, for example, the Medrash talks about it when Rachel says, if you don't give me children, I'm dead. So you have a Medrash that says that's why she passes away young, because she said that, you know, this, I'm dead. And then there's another idea about not inviting disaster on oneself by acting like one has been harmed. I don't know if you ever had this. I had a teacher in elementary school. If a kid came in with crutches, so it was always a toy, right? Everybody wanted to try out the crutches. So I remember I had a teacher who said, no, you can't do that. You're not allowed to use the crutches. Any of you ever have that? I mean, aside from it being a nuisance to the teacher that everyone's playing with the kid's crutches?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Harry, you're familiar. So that's actually an idea which is found in the Gemara. It's a Gemara later in Ksuvos. A person is not supposed to act like something bad has happened to them. There's a lot to be said about this. If you look on your sheet at footnote 10, I gave you a link to a shiur that I gave on this topic some time back, and you can see more about it there. But what we have then at this stage is three different brachos, if you will, so far. The first one may or may not be a bracha. The statement about the loss of children, which may have been an attempt to console, but it may have been tziduk hadin. The second one is about Hashem's greatness and tchias hamesim sounding like the funeral kaddish. The third one is the statement for the Avelim, which is a statement of may God comfort you, and it includes this line about the universality of death. And then there are going to be two more that will also show up here. So maybe what we'll do, especially because my connection isn't great, is next time we'll pick up with numbers 4 and 5 in this string of brachos. They're quick. And then we'll continue from there. Okay? All right. Shkoyach to you. Thank you very much, everyone.
Yeah.
You too. Be well.
Thank you.